Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 23, we read about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn would touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So we have a little bit more detail, certainly about Moses, than we do some of these other heroes of faith. And there certainly are a number of statements of faith that that we read about Moses here. One of the interesting things that we see in verse 23 is this statement that really seems to be more about his parents than it does about him. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. The statement made by the writer here seems to be confusing to some and to commentators, because on the surface it sounds like Moses' parents decided to hide Moses because he was physically beautiful, and if he was a homely child they would have just tossed him into the Nile like the other babies. And I don't think that's the implication here, that if Moses was not a good-looking baby, that his parents would have made some other decision. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2 really makes a similar point. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. Another account is in Acts chapter 7, where we see Stephen giving his brief history of the Jews. And when he gets to this point in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, the English Standard Version expresses it this way: at this time Moses was born and he was beautiful in God's sight. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, and different translations translate Acts chapter 7 verse 20 differently, but I think this is a good way of looking at it, because this word beautiful here is indicating that it's a beauty in God's sight. And that's not something that's superficial. God would look at all of us and think that we are beautiful. And so the point here is not that, well, God looks at Moses and, oh, well, he's an attractive baby, I'm going to save him. That's not the point. We have to realize that it's not something so superficial. But Moses was beautiful to God, and Moses' parents understood that he was beautiful to God, and they needed to do everything that they could to keep him alive and not be subjected to death. And of course we know what he did and what his life was like, and how important he was to bringing the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. So Moses' parents decided to do the right thing against the edict of the Pharaoh. And it's interesting, though, here it says, by faith, Moses. It doesn't say, by faith, Moses' parents. But that's not what the text says. So why is that? Why is there a point that's being made here? Well, one point that we can make is that Moses was one that learned faith very early in his life because of the situation that he was in. And what we can learn about that is we don't always see that in some people's lives, because they don't have the good influence of their parents. Moses learned about faith in the beginning of his life because of what his parents decided to do in regard to saving him. And so Moses learned from his parents what true faith looked like. His parents were not afraid, is what Hebrews says. His parents were not afraid of what the Pharaoh's command was, and they went against it because that child was beautiful to them and he was beautiful to God. So we know God was planning on using Moses from a very, very early age. So what kind of lessons can we draw from that? Well, number one, you know, parents would certainly like to be able to pass their faith down to their children. If they could give their children something to inherit, most parents would pick that. I want to give my faith to my children because I want to see my children be saved. And, you know, that's one thing that we can't do. As much as we want to do it for you, we cannot, you know, force our children to be obedient to God. It's never been that way. But one of the lessons that we can see from this is that Amram and Jochebed set a good example for Moses. So we can't pass on our faith, but we can certainly teach our children about faith. And from the moment that Moses was born, there's a lesson that's being drawn out here, that their worship and service to God is setting the tone for Moses. And you know, when we look, you know, those of us that are older, we look back at our life and our faith, and we can see how we have grown, hopefully, over the years, and that our faith has become stronger. It's something that is often affected by our parents. Many of the people that are in this room tonight have parents that affected their faith in some way or another. And if you're blessed to have parents that are faithful to God, we look at that and it's an example to us. Others, you know, look at their parents and they decided to go a different route because their parents were not the kind of examples that they needed. But what we see is that children are often affected by what's going on in their home. Children learn about faith most of the time from their parents. And children will see whether or not it's something that truly is a part of your life. Is it something that you just do on Sunday? Is it just something that you do on Wednesday? Are you merely a church goer or a bench warmer? Or, you know, playing a role or a double life? Our decisions show our children, you know, what's really important. Amram and Jochebed showed Moses that God was the most important. The other lesson that we can see from this account is one that we see also in the New Testament, where the apostles told the leaders, when they were told to discontinue preaching the word of God, they said, "We must obey God rather than man." So what Moses' parents did, it went against the command of Pharaoh. Well, are they breaking the law? Well, yeah, they're breaking the law of Pharaoh, but God's law trumped Pharaoh's law. And God is the one that needs to be in charge of our lives. I know that we are supposed to respect our rulers. We are supposed to respect the law. But if the laws of the land go against God's laws, then we have to choose to follow God. And that's what Moses' parents did. They went against the command of Pharaoh, knowing that God's will must be obeyed above all else. The next thing that we see here in chapter 11 of Hebrews is the things that Moses decided that he was going to refuse. And this has always been one of the main lessons that I've drawn from Hebrews' account and description of Moses, because it seems to be so counter to the decisions that we might make ourselves if we were asked to make a choice. But it says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." So Moses rejected the pleasures of Egypt, choosing rather to suffer mistreatment with the people of God. And I think sometimes we look at this section and we think, okay, well, there's all kinds of sin that was probably involved in Pharaoh's house, and you know, things that were going on that just reflected a life of sin and debauchery and immorality, and Moses rejected that. I think that's kind of a narrow view to look at what what was going on here, because I think we can easily pass over it thinking, well, he just rejected a life of sin for a life of righteousness. I believe there's more to it than that, because the passing pleasures of sin and the treasures in Egypt is also recognized in verse 26. So it may not be referring just to gross iniquity and lust, but you might think about it this way, that this phrase is describing a way of life that today we would think of somebody that's wealthy and somebody that's successful and somebody that lives a life of opulence because they have position, that they have by birth or by their wealth or by some stroke of luck, that they are in a position where they have lots and lots of money and they have a great job and position and they have a lot of power. And so the writer here, I believe, is referring to position and prestige and power and wealth, not just that the passing pleasures of sin was all about immorality and wickedness, but about power. And you think about the power that he could have had. He threw away a great amount of success when he grew up in the house of Pharaoh. He rejected huge amounts of riches. He could have remained in what we would call the lap of luxury and had an easy life. Some of you are too young to remember the show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And that's probably the first one of those kind of shows, and there's all kinds of them today where you see people going off to foreign countries and they're wanting to buy a modest home and their budget is only like $4 or $5 million. So you see all these kind of things where how did these people get their money? Well, they're in a position of wealth and power somehow, and many look at those kind of things and think, why couldn't my husband have done whatever they're doing? Or why can't I have the kind of job that pays that kind of money? Or why couldn't I have been born into a family that had that kind of wealth? And people look at those things and they drool after it and lust after it. But Moses was there. He was already there. He didn't have to look at it and wish that he was there. He already had it. And he gave it up. Most of us are on the outside looking in at that, wishing it could be ours, but Moses had it, and he rejected huge amounts of riches he could have had it because he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying. He had power, he had prestige, he had position, probably could have had anything that he wanted, and even been up to be some kind of ruler or been in line to be the next Pharaoh, but he refused all of that because he was going to be God's servant. Maybe that doesn't mean a lot to you. Maybe you've never wanted money, but I have. And when I read this, it really affects me because I wonder if I would have the maturity to turn that down. But Moses did. Moses could have rejected God. And, well, I'm just going to be an Egyptian and turned his back on the Hebrews and turned his back on God, or he just gave all that up. So this faith that he had means that he based his decisions on something that he couldn't see, something that was in the future. Living by faith means that we look at the pleasures of the world, the wealth, the success, the prestige and power, and we give it up so that we can be disciples. And we trust God to take care of us. And Moses did that. Moses trusted God to take care of him, and God did take care of him. And I wonder sometimes if we would make the same kind of sacrifice if we were presented with that same choice that Moses was presented with. We might, argue, well, you can still, serve God and have lots of money. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy and tried to, well, I can stay in Egypt and I can still serve God. Maybe I can be an influence on all these Egyptians in my position of wealth and power. And when I become Pharaoh, I'm going to make them all worship the true God. There's something that could have been proposed in Moses' mind if he wanted to straddle the fence there and not make that decision and try to justify it in his own minds. And sometimes we try to justify things so we can go ahead and continue our own selfish pursuits under the guise of serving the Lord. So, Moses, on the other hand, he was looking for spiritual riches rather than physical riches. He looked for the permanent blessings of God rather than the temporary wealth of the world. And so it was a choice. It was a choice between being on God's side and aligning with the people of God, or being on the side of comfort and wealth. So that's what the Hebrew writer is pointing out. And you can certainly see that it took a good amount of faith to do that when presented with that choice. In chapter 11 and verse 27, it says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." So part of the decision to leave Egypt was not just leaving all of the plenty and comfort and leisure, but that he was taking a stand against Pharaoh. He was taking a stand against Pharaoh, and he did this on a number of occasions. He did this early in his life. If you remember, he helped the Hebrews by striking down an Egyptian because the Egyptian was mistreating the Israelite. And then Moses took a stand by leaving Egypt and stood up against Pharaoh, telling him that he needs to let the people go. And so the writer of Hebrews is relating these tribulations of Moses because of what we read about in his history. In Hebrews chapter 10, we also see some of this reference, if I can put my finger on it here. I forgot to write down which verse. Well, I can't find it right now. But the life of Moses, when he was being the leader of the people to let them out of Egypt, he stood against Pharaoh many different times. One of the things that we do see in the book of Hebrews that is being referenced, as we see in many of the letters, is that people are being encouraged because they're undergoing persecution, or they're about to undergo persecution, and the writer is saying, "I've got some bad news. You think you've got it bad now, it's going to get worse." And so a lot of the encouragement that we see in this book, and especially in 1st and 2nd Peter, is that there were Christians that were suffering affliction. They were being persecuted. They were being arrested. They were being mistreated. They were losing their property. And so when you see these kind of things happening, and the Hebrew writer talking about those, when you look at the life of Moses in contrast to the things that they were going through, you think, how could Moses side with God and stand up against the Egyptian rulers? Well, it's the same. You need to deal with your difficulties the same way that Moses did with his. Because it wasn't smooth sailing for Moses. You need to stand up against persecution as well and side with the true God. How could he do that? Well, verse 27 tells us that he stood with the one who was invisible. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured it, seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews 11, verse 1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. So faith is seeing what's unseen. If Moses had gone on what was seen, he would have stayed right where he was. He would have stayed in Egypt because all that he could see there looked pretty good. But his faith was bolstered in seeing what was unseen. If you go back to look at some of the things that we've already discussed in this chapter, we see that this was the case with many of these heroes of faith. In verse 13 it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." So when we look at Enoch and Noah and Abel and Abraham and Sarah, all these that the Hebrew writer is referencing, they were living in such a way, they were looking into the future and they never saw it. They never saw the things that they were living for until later, until after death. So faith, in Moses' case and all their cases, was seeing something that was unseen, something that they saw from afar and made the right decision because of that. They all saw that the blessings of God were more valuable. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul said the same thing. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul, encouraging the Roman brethren, Paul was undergoing persecutions as well, but he could get through those by looking forward to the future. Not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Another interesting note in Hebrews chapter 11 is verse 28. Verse 28, where it says that by faith Moses kept the Passover. And it's interesting that this is a specific event that's picked out of everything that Moses did, because I think there's a lot of things in the life of Moses that you could pick out here to be examples of his faith. But here is the pinnacle of the plagues, and to save the life of their child, the Israelites had to put the blood on the doorpost. Of course, this is the most severe of all the plagues that was coming down on the Egyptians. So by faith, Moses, what did he do? It says his faith led him to obedience. He obeyed God in this case, just as he had in many other cases. So obedience, as you look through this chapter and each one of these, what we're calling heroes of faith, it's a common thread, isn't it? That they were all obedient. That Abraham was obedient when he was told to go to a land that God would show him. All of them were obedient, and they showed their faith through that obedience. I know that's tough for some to think about today, because we don't like to talk about obedience. We just want to talk about loving God. But the love that these people had for God and their faith in Him always exhibited itself in obedience. And these things were difficult. It's not that, you know, if God said, Randy, I want you to go to services every, you know, Sunday and Wednesday. Okay, you know, I can do that. You know, Chick-fil-A's closed anyway, you know. I can go on Sunday. And I think I can go on Wednesday. That would not be something that's very difficult or challenging. And you would think, as hard as it is for some to do that, sometimes that it is difficult. But that's not really a difficult command. If that was the only thing that I was told to do, that wouldn't be anything. But when God tells me to do things like control my temper and other things that I need to do in my life to be more Christ-like, it gets a little bit more difficult. But what we see here in Hebrews is that some of these were really told to do some difficult things that we've already talked about. We talked about Abraham leaving and going and living the life of a nomad, living in tents. And then God told him, after waiting all these years to have a child with his wife Sarah, that he's supposed to go out and offer him as a sacrifice. And he goes and he doesn't delay, and he goes up to do the very thing that God asked him to do, which wouldn't have made any sense to him. They were asked to do difficult things time and time again, and it's what they did. Moses had to obey the command of the Passover, believing that placing the blood on the doorpost would spare the firstborn of the children, or firstborn of the Israelites, their children, from death. And there was nothing else that they could do to prevent this from happening, to avoid the destroyer. They couldn't pray, they couldn't fast, they couldn't do anything except do exactly what God commanded them to do. And faith, sometimes people think, well, faith is desire. Faith isn't about desire, and it's not just saying that you have a desire for God or saying that you have a love for God. And it's not, faith is not, you know, saying a prayer, although praying is certainly involved in a life of faith. But faith What we see here is faith is doing what God said. Faith is about doing God's commands. And I don't really understand why the religious world wants to water down biblical faith, because when you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and you see who these heroes of faith are, and when the Bible defines, you know, what you want to know what faith is about, well, let's talk about what faith is about. And the Hebrew writer tells us exactly what faith is all about in case after case. It's about those who gave up the world to serve God. And they did things that were difficult when God asked them to do something that was difficult. They did it without hesitation. So faith is not just about saying that you have love. It's about seeing an unseen God, which causes us to renounce the pleasures of this world, to serve Him. That's what Moses did. So having this kind of faith that we see detailed for us is not always an easy thing. It's difficult. But what are some lessons that we can take home from this section of Hebrews chapter 11? That parents can help pass on their faith through the decisions that they make in their life. Sometimes we don't like to see our kids do the same things that we did or say the same things that we did. We want our children to do better than we do. But, you know, on the most basic of terms, we want children to be able to see faith and to have their own faith. And we certainly saw that in the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as they passed down their faith generation after generation. These people weren't perfect, and we can see their imperfections that are detailed for us, but they had faith that resulted in obedience, and they could see that generation after generation. We can also see in the life of Moses that his parents, when they decided we're not going to throw this baby into the Nile regardless of how pretty he is, we're going to follow God and not man. And that's a lesson that we can take as well. We should not ever use it as an excuse, you know, for sinning. Well, you know, I didn't want to do that, but my boss told me I needed to lie, or my boss made me do this, or somebody else was the one that pressured me into sinning and going against God's commands. We're to obey God rather than men. We also need to reject the pleasures of earth. And as Moses did, he had to suffer some affliction. And he had, even when he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt in the wilderness, he had to suffer in that regard as well, because it was not always the easiest thing in leading these murmuring and complaining people all those years. So when you look at Moses and what he left behind, comfort and ease and convenience, which sometimes I believe is our God. You know, we don't really say that we worship idols, and we look at idolatry and think, well, that's so foreign to us because we don't have a graven image in our home. But, you know, comfort and ease and convenience can be a lot of people's gods, because that's really what their life revolves around. And, you know, when you look at Moses, if he looks back at the choices that he made, do you think he's happy? You think Moses is happy now with the choices that he made? Or if he looks back and says, you know, I really wish that I had stayed in the house of Pharaoh. That would have been an easier life. You know, I could have been much more powerful. You know, I doubt that there's anybody in the room that's thinking that Moses is looking back now and wishing that he made different choices. Maybe one or two, but not in regard to staying in the household of Pharaoh. And I dare say that you don't meet many people who have lived a life of faithfulness and holiness, and even before they reach their final home, that they sit back and think, I wasted so much time when I could have been sinning. I wasted so much time when I could have been living like the world? Why did I waste my time trying to be a Christian? I have to make that up. Because I've never heard anybody say that. I've heard the opposite before, where those that have spent so much of their life living in sin and they get to the end of their life and maybe now they're a faithful child of God and they tear up thinking about all the time that they wasted or the influence that they could have been on their family years earlier in their life, or what good they could have done in the kingdom of God if they had come to their senses earlier. Now that's a story that you'll hear over and over from those who made the decision to serve God late in their life, or maybe they got off track at some point, and then through the grace of God they were able to come back. It's just not fathomable that we would look back and say, I wish that I had never started serving God. Moses didn't look back in that way. He had a faith that was obedient to God because he had great confidence in the promises of God. And that believing obedience will spare us from destruction. It spared the Israelites from destruction when they put that blood on the doorpost, just as it's detailed for us here in Hebrews. So when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, always remember the things that these people did. That they didn't just have some kind of verbal statement that they said, "Well, I love God." You could see it in their lives by the things that they did, the things that they gave up, the decisions that they made, the good examples they were to their families, and they lived a life that was really preserved for us as an example of faithfulness. Let's live in such a way that, let's say there's another book of Hebrews going to be written at some point, or something's going to be written sometime. Would your name be there? Would you be listed in that chapter? Would your name be one that would be held up as an example of faithfulness? Something that we need to think about, and we can certainly learn from these examples. We can help in any way be obedient to the gospel of Christ. We'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Day coming, there's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful we could come out this afternoon to worship you and to be with our spiritual family here. Please be with those who have been mentioned as needing our prayers. Cheyenne, my grandfather, Miss Jan, and especially continue to be with Mr. David and Amy. Please give the Biddles and the Hoseys a safe trip while they are out of town and help them return home safely too. Please be with those who are serving our country, with our leaders as they are in office, with those who are risking their lives for our safety every day. Help us overcome our temptations. Be with us this week and help us be strong and always do the right thing. Thank you for everything that you have blessed us with. Please let us meet here again at the next point in time, if it be your will. Most especially, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to this earth to die for the remission of our sins. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.